Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of Salvation. Chapter 9. Personal experience with God's salvation. Following the same observation made at the beginning of the previous chapter, that the main aspects that enable the salvation of God to be offered to all those who have sinned and turned away from an appropriate relationship with the Lord have already been widely approached in the preceding material of the series The Gospel of God, we would not like to return in this chapter to all the same points regarding how this gospel is offered to the world. Nevertheless, a point that we still consider to be highly necessary to be emphasized or reiterated concerning the gospel of salvation is the matter of how God's salvation can be known not only as a salvation offered by God in general to the world, but as a salvation that actually also becomes personal for that individual who needs the salvation and wants it to become a real experience also for his or her life. God gave His beloved Son to die for all on the cross of Calvary not only to let people know about this fact, but the Lord did it so that the salvation He offers can actually be experienced and sustained in the lives of those to whom the salvation is announced or addressed. The offer of God's salvation is, in part, a global action or address to all people in the world. On the other hand, however, the salvation granted from the heavenly kingdom only becomes a reality in a person's life when one is also willing to believe in the salvation offered to him or her by God, as described in the following text. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Books and compendiums might be written, many messages might be preached, films might be produced and shown around the world, studies and more studies might be done about the salvation of God, but this salvation will not have its principal effects on an individual's life if one does not particularly believe and receive it, for the salvation contained in the gospel refers to an offer and not to an imposition. Only figuratively or as a merely illustrative example, if the salvation that God makes available to all people were compared to an available medication that a person needs to take to obtain a cure for an illness, that person also would only get the desired healing if he or she would take the suggested medicine indeed. Even if a drug that needs to be ingested may have all the qualifications to perform the aimed cure, it does not have any effect on the patient if one is not willing to make use of what has been made available. Similarly, if we compare salvation to making available the release of an individual from a place where one is imprisoned, this salvation, so that it may indeed be experienced personally, is also related to the fact that the person accepts the liberation and leaves that place where he or she was imprisoned. The salvation that God offers in Christ to the world is a salvation that has already made all aspects fully available for a person to obtain the deliverance from the bondage of sin and to receive eternal life in the Lord. However, returning to the illustrative examples of the previous paragraphs, the salvation offered in the gospel of God does not impose itself on the sick person so that one takes the appointed medicine or that the one who is imprisoned leaves this position against his or her will. God has already given His Son to the world for the salvation of all. The Lord has already made eternal salvation available to everyone. It is done, or it is past. The Lord has already established it forever, and nobody can revoke it. Therefore, as to the provision it has made and the extent to which it is intended for all, God's salvation is already established and cannot be changed in this regard. However, the attitude that each recipient of this gift adopts in one's heart is an aspect that can vary from individual to individual. In Christ Jesus, God established the eternal terms of salvation that He offers to each or every human being, but the personal position of each of them as to whether or not to receive the salvation has always been and remains a choice or decision that it is up to each individual to do. The expression that whoever believes in him presented in the scriptures refers to a whole that encompasses everyone, but it is also, at the same time, a measure of a single unit, that is, applicable to the posture or choice that each person adopts specifically in his or her life. Repeating, then, once again, the salvation that God offers in Christ Jesus or his gospel is provided and available to all, but choosing for it is personal. Romans 10:12-13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us look again at the whoever and all of the verses presented above. They clearly express that God does not have a limited stock of salvations that run out when a certain number of people come to attain God's salvation. The salvation presented in the gospel is not granted with a limited number of tickets as it used to be for some activities in a stadium. God has not established a limited number of people who can reach salvation. There is no numerical amount of available salvations established by God. And because of this, there is also no need for people to settle disputes and envy about who achieves or who does not achieve the salvation offered by God. Besides, there are also no restrictions on variations in the types of people to be saved. When the scriptures tell that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, they express that there is no distinction of origin and type of people, for this expression neither Jew nor Greek, used several times in the books of the Bible written after the extensive revelation of Christ as the eternal Savior, is an allegory or a figure of speech that encompasses all the people of the earth. An aspect exemplified by the texts below and also more widely exposed by the subject on the new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:11-13. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Revelation 7:9-12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor and power and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Whoever calls on means all without exception, without restrictions on the type of ethnicity, race, tribe, language, or nation, and without restrictions of any quantity. The only limitation that can occur regarding the salvation made available by God through His gospel is on the part of those who are not willing to call on the name of the Heavenly Father and Christ as their Lord. Thus, considering that God's salvation is fully made available, instruction on the vital attitude of personally calling on the name of Christ as the Lord has, in a sense, become the most essential or crucial matter to be informed to people worldwide. From time to time, religious movements appear in the world with the preaching or teaching that claim that the salvation contained in the gospel is subject to quantitative, regional, or ethnic restrictions, or still, that it is offered only to some segments of people according to their stereotype, natural condition, or social position. However, this is definitely not what the Bible expresses as the Heavenly Father and Christ's position or statement on this subject. On the other hand, we remember that the words "whoever calls on," despite encompassing all the people in the world, is clearly also an individual or personal expression, or that refers to the position that each person adopts towards the salvation offered to all by God. The word "whoever" also instructs that calling on the name of Christ as Lord, to be saved by Him, does not refer to some collective outcry that can be commanded by an individual doing it in the name of a group or the name of other people. If, on the one hand, the availability of God's salvation is for everyone, on the other hand, it is personal or individual, not transferable by heredity or inheritance, it cannot be associated with the calling on the Lord of one individual on behalf of another, and it is not shareable by covenants that human beings make among themselves or through alliances that people make with their religions, institutions, leaders, or idols. The action of calling on the Lord for salvation instructed by the Scriptures is always presented as a direct call from an individual to God, for no institution, religion, idol, or other person, whether this person is still on earth or has already passed through natural death, is accepted by God as mediator or as a means of mediation for eternal salvation. God's will has always been and continues to be that everyone comes to be saved. God wants all people to be saved, without exception, but this salvation was established by God to happen exclusively through Christ Jesus and for each of those who call on Him as their Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 4-6. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Christ Jesus is the full expression of the truth that God wants everyone to know. And it is in Christ that people achieve the truth and the eternal salvation of their lives. The eternal Christ, who was manifested by the Heavenly Father in the flesh to the world, who was put to death on the cross of Calvary, who rose from the dead 3 days after His burial, and who is eternally alive, is the eternal Savior. And He cannot be replaced by anyone else, no other aspect of creation, no aspect that human beings create, and not even by what many call Christian culture or Christian religion. For the sake of information still regarding the point that the gospel is for everyone, but that receiving it is associated with the posture of each person, it is worth remembering that in English, for example, the word "men" also means the set of all people, means the human being, encompassing all men and women. In the translation of the Bible by Martin Luther into the German language, the expression used for men is the word "Menschen," whose translation into some other languages is challenging, as it encompasses all people, whether men, women, children, young, adults, or the elderly, but without losing the concept of the individuality of each person in the set of people. It is the total set of individual people or the multitude that encompasses everyone without losing the personality or individuality of each of the human beings in the broader set. In other words, God did not grant His salvation so that a large contingent of humanity might be saved collectively, depersonalized, or through other people, religions, or institutions created by them. God's will is that each person, of all humankind, become saved by a personal option or choice for the salvation made available by the Heavenly Father directly in Christ, constituting a large or collective contingent of the saved ones, but who choose personally to welcome or receive the salvation offered to all. Although in various actions and movements through which God's salvation is offered to human beings there might be situations in which many people receive Christ simultaneously, as described, for example, in Acts chapter 2, the acceptance of the salvation from the Lord by each individual is a personal decision or choice that no one can do for one's fellow men. The salvation contained in the gospel is offered to everyone, but even so or at the same time, acceptance of it is a personal decision of everyone to whom it is offered. Thus, we understand that it is worth mentioning here that what establishes a person in Christ is not the number of people who accepted God's salvation at the same time, but it is the personal choice for Christ and the presence of Christ in the life of each one that received the Lord in his or her life. God's salvation is offered to everyone, but it needs to be seen and received in a personalized way by the one to whom it is offered, as also announced so firmly by the prophet Isaiah in the following text. Isaiah 12, 1-6. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song, he also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things, this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. The salvation found in the gospel of God is an inexhaustible source not only for the number of people who need it, but also for the different needs of each person. However, the instruction described by the prophet Isaiah also extends to saying that salvation is associated with an individual's choice, for when mentioning that salvation expresses sources of living water, the need for personal access to these sources also becomes evident. Although salvation expresses the limitless water of eternal life offered by the Lord to everyone, no person is supplied with this water if one personally does not take it. For an individual to be truly nourished by the sources of salvation, one needs to receive it personally according to the way through which it is made available by the Lord, as described below. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Several political systems in the world seek to make people think at an excessive level that they are dependent on the collective provision that their rulers propose to make available for the people they govern or dominate, just as many religious systems seek to present their leaders as the collective hope of their followers. However, none of these human propositions can provide deliverance and salvation for what a person really needs for eternal life, and, therefore, no person should place one's expectation of eternal salvation on other human beings or on their projects by which they claim to offer collective salvation. Only the Lord can attend every individual in all the demands that the personal salvation of each one of them needs. Psalms 146, 3-6. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, in that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save everyone with the salvation offered by the gospel, but, even so, each person is unique and responsible for deciding whether to accept the salvation or not, whether to believe in Christ to receive eternal life or not to believe in the Lord and resist the salvation that God offers him or her. Acts 4, 11-12. This, Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the books called by some people as the four Gospels, as well as in the book of Acts, we find a variety of practical situations of how people related to Christ in the matter of deliverance and salvation. and in one of the specific cases narrated in these books, it is described the situation of 10 lepers who went out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ with the expectation of being saved from the evils that afflicted them because of such cruel illness that was present in their bodies. The Lord answered all of them, giving them an instruction by which the Lord would manifest the cure for the leprosy of which they were carriers, a cure that actually became a reality in all of them as the Lord had predicted. Nevertheless, of the 10 lepers who were healed, only one returned to praise and worship Christ as the Lord, as God, and it was specifically for this individual that the Lord Jesus declared, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has saved you." From the text in reference, we do not know what the other 9 healed did later on concerning the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the near moment after healing, we see that only one exercised faith in the salvation that extends beyond a circumstantial deliverance, the one who came to Christ to worship him also as the Lord of his life. Initially, only this one returned to drink from the source of eternal salvation, and for this reason, he also heard the words, "Your faith has saved you." He who called on Jesus Christ as the Lord after he had received healing in his life, and prostrated himself to worship Christ on the condition of recognizing him as the Messiah, he attained salvation not only temporarily from his cruel illness, but also before the Heavenly Father for eternity. It is interesting to note that the Lord Jesus, without distinction, responded to all the 10 lepers who came to him to be healed, just as God serves countless people in many, many situations in which they ask him to deliver them from some circumstantial situations. The Lord made no restraint in providing healing to those who asked for it and sought it together, but the salvation specifically offered by the gospel of salvation, at least initially, was only achieved by the one who invoked Christ as his Lord, even when he no longer needed to call on Christ's help because of the oppressive circumstance he was in before he was healed. The scriptures inform us that one of the 10 who had been healed from a physical or circumstantial situation also worshipped Christ as his Lord, and it was he who achieved the highest salvation that Christ came to announce and reveal to the world. Luke 17:15-19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole, or has saved you." New King James Plus AV. Therefore, we think that to reaffirm that the salvation offered by God is manifested by grace, through faith, or by personally calling on Christ as the Lord and justifier of those who seek him with a broken and contrite heart, is not insisting too much on this theme, and also for people having in mind not to be proud and not to think that salvation for eternal life can be achieved by their own works, postures, or by the condition of being naturally healthy and well-positioned in their own eyes. As the scriptures also remind us through the following text. Luke 18:9-14. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." God knows what is in each person's heart and how an individual positions oneself regarding Him. God is not impressed by haughty words, but He is pleased with the one who presents oneself to Him with a broken heart, prostrate before Him, who with simple words personally calls upon Him for help, and who recognizes that he or she needs the Lord to obtain the salvation of his or her soul. Psalms 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. We understand that it is very relevant that the subject of the personal encounter with the Lord and His salvation becomes widely and repeatedly exposed, because also when the instruction to call upon the Lord is mentioned, people often think that they will need to use sublime or well-designed words to turn to God in prayer. However, this is not what the Lord requires of them, as we saw in the last parable above presented by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The act of calling on the Lord that leads a person towards the salvation of the gospel of God does not require high natural qualities. Instead, it can be done by simple words, as well as it can be done by all those who want to receive eternal salvation in the place or in the moment of life in which they find themselves. The salvation that is provided by Christ is not restricted to becoming manifested precisely at the time of life that a person encounters oneself. At no time did the Lord Jesus Christ teach or ask people to seek Him at some specific period or physical location. On the contrary, from the revelation of Christ Jesus to the world, calling on the Lord has also become the way in which everyone can ask God for the eternal salvation that is already available to them, but also the salvation that can be personally received in the heart in the most different places or times in which people are living. Psalms 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Acts 17, 30-31. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Christ is the truth revealed by God to the world and the truth of salvation offered by God. However, the Lord Jesus is also the living way to salvation that is not restricted to a place, region, or nation. Christ is the salvation offered by God to all and in the most diverse locations, so that this salvation may also be manifested in the reconciliation and fellowship of people with the Heavenly Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit wherever people live in the face of the earth. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Moving yet further concerning people's choice for Christo, when the subject of a personal encounter with God, of calling on the Lord, or of crying out and praying to Him is discussed, many end up being people's positions on this point. Some readily hear the salvation proposition, believe in it, practice the act of calling on the Lord, and begin a new life with Christ. Some want to meditate and reflect on whether they want or do not want to receive salvation later. Others just forget about it until they meet with it at another time in their lives. Others claim they do not have time for this. Some say they do not feel ready, while others say they are afraid. And some clearly declare that they do not want this salvation or that they are not willing to receive it because they think they do not need it or because they do not want to leave the kind of life that they have while away from God's salvation. Nevertheless, among the arguments mentioned by people to postpone invoking the name of the Lord for their salvation to eternal life, there is an aspect that presents a particular emphasis and concerning which we also believe it is necessary to make a distinct observation, since it is based on an entirely false premise regarding the proposition of salvation presented by the gospel of God. While many people deliberately say that they still do not want God's salvation, putting the eternal future of their lives at extreme risk, There are those who say they want God's salvation, but who do not call on the Lord for this purpose because they think that somehow they are prevented from receiving salvation. Either because they think God does not want to receive or save them for some personal imperfections, the mistakes they have made, or the inadequate situations in which they have placed themselves. What we believe to be very necessary to highlight regarding the approach of the previous paragraph is that people can choose not to want God and the salvation that the Lord offers, but to try to claim or argue that God would not accept them because of the condition in which they find themselves, in no way matches what the Scriptures reveal to us about the availability of salvation offered to all by the kingdom of God. The different phrases that we exemplified above and where one says that he or she still wants to wait, another says I do not want, and so on, are personal positions that each one can adopt through one's choice, for the gospel is offered to them and not imposed. However, when someone declares necessary conditions to receive eternal salvation that God himself did not establish for people concerning the gospel of salvation, that person is not consistent with the Scriptures of God, for the Lord never required people to present the characteristics of saved people before they were saved indeed. The Lord does not expect that those who need the salvation of the gospel will be able to live in beforehand a life as if they have already been saved so that they, then, can receive the salvation offered to them from the heavenly kingdom. The requirement that the Lord asks people when they call on His name is that they recognize that only the Lord can give them salvation and newness of life, that each of them asks Him for this salvation, or that they, from the heart, express that they want to be saved by the Lord, letting the Lord working out in their lives the salvation He offers. Psalm 6, 4. Return, O Lord, deliver me. Oh, save me for your mercy's sake. Psalm 71, 2. Deliver me in your righteousness, and cause me to escape, incline your ear to me, and save me. Psalms 109, 26-27. Help me, O Lord my God. Oh, save me according to your mercy. That they may know that this is your hand that you, Lord, have done it. Psalms 37, 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Revelation 7, 10. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. When a person calls on the Lord because one no longer sees strength in oneself to be saved or because one does not find an alternative or ability in him or her to present oneself in a worthy condition before the Lord, or even just because one becomes aware that salvation for eternity can only be provided by God, one does not displease and offend the Lord. On the contrary, he or she exalts the Lord by recognizing that only through him and in him can a person be saved. When someone turns to the Lord to be saved by Him, one honors the Lord by allowing the Creator to assume in his or her heart the position that is eternally due only to God. Psalms 40, 1-5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God, many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. 1 Samuel 2, 2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Isaiah 45, 22. Look to me, and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. Acts 4, 12. nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. When a person understands that one needs to be saved, including from the inadequate thought that one needs in advance to show oneself good to be worthy of salvation, and comes to accept that the Lord first wants to save him or her so that one can be made righteous by the help of the Lord, an enormous burden can be lifted from his or her life because of the approach in confidence to the Lord, for the Lord himself begins to act daily on behalf of the one who calls on his name. Romans 5:10-11. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 40:30-31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. Finally, and aiming to conclude this subject in a very objective way, we would like to reiterate that God is not impressed by haughty human words or their long oratories, but, rather, with words that spring from the sincerity of the heart and that humbly call on the Lord for salvation and help. The scriptures do not instruct us on a specific set of pre-established words, prayers, or phrases to call upon the Lord in order to obtain salvation, for what God longs for is the real action of calling on him for salvation that springs from the heart that wants Christ as one's personal Lord and Savior. Some people may want to tell their story to God in many words and then cry out for salvation, others may be in such distress that the words "save me, Lord" might be the only words they can express. Yet others, perhaps, in the face of their imminent death, may only have one last chance to speak to the Lord and cry out for his mercy towards them, as was the case with the criminal crucified beside Christ. However, when a person calls on the Lord, believing that God can save him or her through the love that the Heavenly Father demonstrated in Christ on the cross of Calvary, it is not the simple words or even the groans of pain that will prevent the Lord from saving him or her. On the contrary, it is to those who are in a condition of humility in their hearts that God answers, helps, or saves. James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. According to the scriptures of God, there is no longer any reason for anyone not to receive the salvation offered by the Lord, for today is the day of salvation for everyone who personally longs to be saved by the salvation contained in the gospel of salvation and who also longs to remain steadfast in this same salvation in all the days of one's life in the present world and as well throughout eternity. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Psalms 88:1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Psalms 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, on you I wait all the day. In the Psalms, we find several expressions that can serve as examples of how to call on the Lord, but it is the expression and the cry coming from the heart and lips of each person that the Lord waits to manifest His salvation to those who call on Him, as exposed in the final texts presented below. Psalms 109, 26. Help me, O Lord my God. O, save me according to your mercy. Psalms 6, 4. Return, O Lord, deliver me. O, save me for your mercy's sake. Romans 10, 8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Final greetings. Psalms 146, 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Revelation 14, 7. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The texts narrated in this audio are posted at www.zoominchristianlife.org. Greetings of peace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ.